Okay, it's ready.
Well, hey there, everybody. This is Kendra Childs Jones with Busy Women Ministries, and I am so excited to introduce you all to Dr. Lucretia Dangerfield, who is our February Busy Woman of the Month. How are you this morning, Dr. Dangerfield?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Good, good. Thank you so much for accepting that honor of being our Busy Woman of the Month.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Good, good. I'm not going to hold you long today because I know you are very busy. So let's jump right on into the interview.
Okay.
First, tell us a little bit about Lucretia before the doctor.
Lucretia before the doctor? Okay. I'm a Nashville native. I'm the daughter and a sister of two. I enjoy reading. I enjoy hanging out with my friends. I just enjoy life. Most importantly, I'm a woman of faith. I grew up in the church and walked out my relationship and is walking out my relationship with God. So that's me. And I probably would say Lucretia and Dr. Lucretia a lot of times it's the same because I have learned how to integrate them.
And see, now that you make an important point here of being the same and integrating Lucretia and the doctor. Because I know a lot of people when they get their doctor status, they become the doctor and forget who they are. Yeah. So how are you able to integrate the two?
Well, I can say I was the one that probably shied back from the whole thing of being Dr. Lucretia because I had gotten to a point in life, and I think it probably starts around for most women, and I probably could say for myself, around age 37, where you have this awakening and where you really want to kind of get to know who you are and who you were created to be. And so I started that journey well before I start working to pursue a doctorate. So every day I work to know more about who I am. And really now, and you know, I don't want to sound cliche of people who are like, oh, she's just saying this, but no, truly learning how to live in the identity that God created me to be. Because once I realized that if I could align with that, then life got, you know, just flowing in who I am just became so much easier.
And I know you mentioned you don't want to sound cliche, but I can say personally from, you know, dealing with you as family because we're cousins, mm-hmm. but also as a success coach, that's not cliche in your life because you do operate authentically. It just comes across. You just are who you are regardless of the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, and it took me a while to accept that it's just who I am and to own it, own truly who I am, because I would, you know, walk in the room and I would shrink back a lot of times because I didn't want to feel like I was taken over, that I was, you know, so I would a lot of times just kind of try to not be seen, but then regardless of if I was trying not to be seen, I would be seen. And I was like, oh, I was just, you know, I'm just trying. And I would always say, I'm just showing up being me. And so, so integrating that whole authentic, just not, you know, just, it's not that I don't care what people think, but really I don't care what people think. I'm like, it's just who I am. And people find themselves attracted to my authenticity.
I can see that. I can see that. So it almost sounds like if you're not being authentic, you're almost putting a shell around yourself, kind of blocking.
Yes, and it's hard to keep up with. Trying to be too many different things to too many different people, and I'm like, ooh, I ain't got time for all of that.
Yes. And you know, I can say from personal experience that you helped me actually maneuver out of that kind of chameleonism that I was so proud of for you. You know, I can be this person here, and at work I can be this, but it was a struggle because you're all these different people at all these different times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but actually working with you helped me to see that, you know, once I become me everywhere, yeah, life is easier. And I think, yes, you are an example, you know, how that looks, you know.
But thank you. Cause I've been working at it. I've been working hard at that.
Well, it definitely shows. Definitely. Mm-hmm. So, what led you to the counseling field?
I always laugh at this story, and the only thing I can actually say this is truly a God thing, because when I was in my undergraduate program, counseling was the furthest thing from my mind. I wasn't thinking about going into psychology. Now, I did like sociology, but I was like, no, I'm going into the business arena. I'm going to make me some money. And I'm going to be, first I started out, I was going to be an accountant. Then I realized one day sitting in class that, you know what? I'm like, I couldn't do this for the rest of my life. So I moved into marketing. And so I worked in the business. A long time, and I'll tell you my story. Even in undergrad, I had to take a psychology class to graduate, and my prayer was, God, please let me pass this class so that I can graduate, because it was my last semester in school. I'm like, I need to pass this class. I don't want to have to take it again, because I'm trying to graduate in December. So, you know, so I was like, I just need a D. That's all. So for that class, a D was passing. I made a C, but it was a D. That's all I needed. And so probably it was around 1998, I was working. I had a job. Job was easy in the business of working in finance. The job was easy. I could go do my work probably 3 weeks out of the month. I could be finished with my work by 10 o'clock, and then I could spend the rest of the day chatting with my friends. You know, it was that one week out of the month where we were busy, because we had to run payments, and so it kept me busy. But I was like, oh, this is good. But I wasn't comfortable. I knew that there was more for me to do, and so I was praying, and I asked God really what He created me to do, and He led me to take this psychology of adjustments class. And the teacher in that class had us do a 5-year plan. And I'll tell you, I hadn't even thought about counseling then, because I was like, I'm going to get my MBA. I'm going to own my own business. You know, I already had this plan, because I had already, even in high school, I knew I wanted to own my own business. And so this guy was sitting next to me, and he was telling what he was going to do. And he said he was going to go to Tribeca and get a master's in counseling. And in that moment, God was like, that's what you're supposed to do. Wow. And the next week I called Tribeca, checked down that counseling program. I was asking the lady, what did I need to do? Because I was like, oh my God, I got to go take some more classes. You know, I had already, like, I got to go. I don't have a bachelor's in counseling. So I was like, oh, I got to go take some more classes. What is it going to cost me? And when the lady said, you don't have to have a bachelor's to go into our master's program. These are the things that you need to do. You need to take a test. You need to apply. You know, send your transcript and everything. And so I did that. I took the test that they required me to take, and I passed the test. And that's a whole different story in that, where how God worked, navigated in that whole situation. And the lady called me one day, and she said, if you could pick a day that you want to take your classes, do you want to go on Tuesday or do you want to go on Saturday? And I was working a full-time job. I was like, man, if y'all offering classes on Saturday, I'll go on Saturday. And I said, but does that mean I'm in the program? And she was like, no, we just trying to figure out if, you know, like if you got accepted into the program, what cohort to put you in. And then I got my acceptance letter, and it was actually, it was a conditional acceptance letter because my GPA in undergrad was not bad, but it wasn't all that good either. Cause I enjoyed college life. And so, got into the master's program, and I'll tell you, this is how God orchestrates things. I was set to graduate in May of 2003. In February of 2003, they came in and told us that they were going to move my department to Florida. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I'm not moving to Florida. And I went and I talked to my boss at that time. I said, hey, I'm not going to be one that's going to move to Florida because I said, I've been working on my master's. I said, I graduate in May. And, you know, I would be looking for something to do to shift into my new profession. And I said, I'll stay here until you don't need me anymore. And I ended up staying there until January of 2004. And that's how I got into the counseling field.
Wow, so that is definitely a God thing. He commanded it and he orchestrated the whole thing.
Yeah, I could not have planned it and done it with the way he did it. And I, you know, those are things I didn't know. I was just like walking, like just literally just walking from what I thought I heard.
But see, that's a testament to your swift obedience too, because a lot of times we'll hear things from God. I know I've been so guilty that I hear him say something and then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds good, but don't act on it. But you acted on it within like a week. Mm. And it's a good thing you did, because down the line, which you didn't see coming, was right. Your God. Wow. Look at that. So given that experience, what advice do you have for women who are hearing from God and are hesitant to act on?
Get out of your own way. Mm-hmm. Get out of your own way. And because a lot of people's like, I'll do it if I'm not afraid. But fear is something that we always will experience. And so if you believe you're hearing from God, step out there. And it may, you know, it may not be 100% right or easy, but just step out there and quit and keep listening, because what he'll do is like, if he said, hey, go this way, and you went the other way, God has a way of nudging us back to the way that he'll have us. Because even like you said, yeah, in that moment, I had swift obedience. There's plenty of time since then I have not been swift into obedience. God, yeah, that's what you say, do. I'm gonna do it, but then I get distracted and start doing something else. So, just like I said, just take one step. God normally, and if we even look at the Bible, He really never gives you the total picture. God will give you this like abstract vision.
Yeah.
Cause like, if you think about when he told Abraham, I'm gonna give you a child, you're gonna be the father of many nations, you know, go to this land. And he was like, ah, okay. And he did it. But that's how God don't give us like, okay, walk down the street. Now in that moment when he told me to apply, like in my spirit, I knew that that's what I was supposed to do.
Right.
But you know, a lot of times, sometimes he's gonna give us this big vision and to see, like, well, are you willing to just to start walking? Because he knows the plan.
He does. He does know. And sometimes it's good that he doesn't give us the whole picture.
Oh no, we will most definitely not do it.
Mm-mm. Oh no. I told him I would have to walk through all of this.
Right.
But said no from the start.
Yeah, that's why he does it, because he's like, if I tell you what, like, really what the picture is, you gonna be like, oh no, because we had a God, we can't, you know, I can't do that. He like, I'm not, it's really, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you that's what you're gonna do, you know. Right. But if we be like, what people gonna think? Or yeah, what, you know, I can't do that. And he's like, so he's like, let me give you a little bit. Let me nudge you in the right direction.
How we think about what other people think, but we always put what God thinks, you know, to the background.
I know. It's human nature.
Yeah. If we were more focused on what he thought, then we would go ahead and move forward.
Yeah.
You know.
But so, it's human nature.
It is. So you're in the counseling field.
Mm-hmm.
What, we didn't even talk about the name of your company. We just jumped right on in. And this is normally how our conversations go.
That is true.
But yeah, so tell us a little bit about your company.
My company, I want to say, is not a counseling company.
Okay.
And that's where, like, sometimes I get tripped up and other people get tripped up. Reimprint Your Life is actually a women's empowerment and well-being company. In my company, one arm of it, I do provide supervision and services to other mental health counselors.
Okay.
That's on one side. And the other side is that I provide coaching, leadership, and life coaching and consulting to women, which that's where the overarching work is.
Okay. So women, company that helps to empower women.
Mm-hmm.
So are there specific women that you serve, or is it women?
I'll tell you, this kind of goes back to the vision that God gave me a long time ago, and it just really keeps tapping at me, is to work with women, and especially women leaders.
Okay.
Women who want to, they know that God has given them, like he's inspired a vision in them, but they don't know how to connect who they are and what he's called them to do together so that they can have some form of impact in their life, in their career, for their family. And so I was going down, like, this is it. This is one of those moments of not being swift and obedient.
Okay.
But I got distracted in a way, because I was really focusing on counselors.
Okay.
And God revealed to me, yes, you have a heart for counselors, but really what you have a heart for, and your heart is for women. And the majority of counselors are women. It's not that you are working to, that you are serving them in their role. You are actually serving them and helping to empower them in who they are as a woman.
Okay, so you're serving the woman, not her profession.
Yes.
Okay.
And see, that's where I got hung up, and I couldn't ever figure, I'm like, it's not working, but it's working, because women would hear the message.
Right.
But I was like, how does this, you know, what do I do for counselors? And God revealed more. He was like, you have a heart for the woman and helping her to be who she is and who she's called to be. And it's not strictly to a profession. Yeah.
Okay. And that makes sense to why, like, you would put your videos out there and it was like, oh, yes, that she's talking to me. She was like, she works with counselors.
Yeah.
Can you work with me too?
Yes, and that's what I had to get, because in our world of branding, in that world, in an online, building your brand, building your business platform, you know, the language a lot of times is like, you need to identify your avatar. And you have to identify her, give her a name, what she does, how much money she makes, da 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 da. And so I would get stuck on that that the majority of the people that I work with in one arm of my business are counselors. So I was like, how do I help them? And then it was like, it's more than them as a professional, it's them as who they are as women.
And you talked about branding, and yeah, that's one of those hot button topics these days. Branding and impact, and what's another one? Like presence.
Uh huh.
How does a woman who is trying to be authentic,
mm-hmm,
brand herself? Because, you know, it's like sometimes I think we get caught up in branding, so like we have to create this new persona, mm-mm, you know, to present to the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. What we get caught up in is when you're saying I'm branding, you're like, I'm branding a business outside of I'm building my own personal brand. Your personal brand is a lot of times what draws people to your business, because they are attracted to who you are when you show up authentically, where you're because they can build that like, know, and trust factor, because they know that when, like, they know, like people who follow me and they know who I am. Yeah, Dr. Dangerfield is like what I brand myself online, or Dr., you know, that. But people know that I'm going to be authentic, that I'm going to inspire you, I'm going to empower you, I'm going to tell you, I am inspiring you to live your best life.
Yeah.
So regardless of what I do in my business and how the different arms of my business come together, my personal brand and who I am is what people follow.
Okay.
Because people are going to live, people, like for you, like you're synonymous with busy women. So as people get to know more and more about Kendra Jones and you putting yourself out there, people are going to be attracted to what Kendra Jones does, and your tribe is going to follow you regardless of what you're selling.
Okay, that makes sense. I think that's where a lot of women are getting hung up, mm-hmm, because to create this, and I know I'm guilty of myself trying, mm-hmm, to create this business person,
mm-hmm,
and then you have your personal person, and they're not meshing. Like you said in the beginning, you are Lucretia and Dr. Lucretia, but you're, mm-hmm, the same,
yes,
person.
And I think the more we get, and the more you get comfortable and confident in who you are, the more that who you are is going to show up in your brand and in your business. Because I know for me, as I level up, my tribe is coming behind me because I'm the leader of the tribe.
Yeah.
But I see my handprint on what they do. And sometimes I'm like, one day I was like, did she steal my stuff? But then I'm like, no. And then God was like, and then, you know, I was like, her message sounds a lot like mine. And then I was like, you're the leader. Your followers look like you. So their message is going to be similar to what you share, because they're following as a trailblazer, as a, you know, as someone that has, that goes on before, because because I'm usually the one that'll jump out there. Like, other people, they be like, I can't do that right now. And I'm like, well, I'm already out here.
Right.
I'm out here. I can't. It ain't nothing we can do. I'm out here. But they see that, and they're like, okay, so if Dr. Lucretia did that, and she still doing it, then I can do it. I can get, you know, and I can share information now because I've been through it to say, hey, you need to do it this way. I wish I had known that. And so my work looks like who I follow.
Right. Okay. So basically it's leading by example.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's what any good leader should do.
Yes. And that's one of my words for this year. Is example. Example, mm-hmm. Intentional, and unscripted.
Okay. So that means you're taking your hands off of it.
Yes. And I shouldn't have, because this year has been real crazy already.
And we're just at day 31.
Yes. I should not have said unscripted, but that's what I need. But yes, and I do love that you do lead by example, and you're not afraid of those following you. Not necessarily copying you, but emulating, you know, some of the things mm-hmm. that you have had success with, and trying to find their own.
Their mm-hmm. own.
Yeah, you know, because some yes. people say, "Oh, well, she's trying to be like me," so they kind of either they stop doing things so nobody can copy them, or
mm-hmm.
try to back off from a person thinking they're yeah. trying to, you know, copy them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a big sister thing. It's like you see your big sister,
yes.
you want to try it,
yes,
and then you learn your own way eventually.
Right, and you bring yourself, because what I something that I learned is, I was like, no one can take my gift from me.
True.
And a gift is something that's given, and I operate in my gifting. So you can learn what I do, but you would never be able to do it like I do unless it's your gift.
Right.
Because if it's not your gift, you could be a good copycat, but you're never going to have the same impact, because God blessed me with the gift.
And it's gonna come across, if you're not putting yourself in it, it'll come across.
As fake?
Yeah.
He's like, what you do? And so I had to learn that, because when I was, like, for me, trying to fit into the box of what I thought and perceived a counselor was supposed to look like, oh. I was uncomfortable as I'll get out. I wasn't doing good work. My client's father was like, ooh, what the world is she doing? But wow. once establishing my own flow and how I do things, and being willing to accept that it may not look like what Sharon over here is doing, because I have some great friends who are counselors that if you look in the, like I got a couple friends, I'm like, if you look under the definition of counselor, I want to see your picture.
Okay, wow.
And I didn't feel like that was like me. I was like, I have the skills of a counselor, but I work better and operate in the gift of a coach.
Okay. And that's good that you operate as a coach, but you have that counseling background so that you can.
Oh, yeah. So when I see, yeah, because when I see people then I'm like, you need to go to counseling. You need to work through this deeper than moving to your next level.
Right.
You need to do some work and get that cleared up to move to your next, then come back for counseling, for coaching.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of people need that, because right now coaching is such a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody coaching, getting a coach is easy.
Yeah.
You know, everyone, and it doesn't come with the same stigma
as going to counseling. Yeah. But if people really knew the definition of what counseling is, you would see it from a more of a holistic and wellness approach, as to where our society has, because mental health is on a continuum. So you have mental illness, you have mental health, and mental wellness. And we stigmatize mental illness, but we've called it mental health. We all have mental health, because health is without disease.
Okay.
But our society has used those words interchangeably. And so if we can break that stigma of having, you know, there are people who are diagnosed because we have criteria for mental illness. And that means that you have some mental dis-ease in your mind and how you process things. But we all are seeking mental health and mental wellness because we all want to be in our right mind.
Yes.
Yes.
See, and I've never heard it broken down, though. I've only just heard, you know, mental health and mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily mental wellness or that there's a continuum.
And yes.
As a civilian, you know, not a... I probably wouldn't have heard that, but I think more people should be aware of that. That, you know, the different areas of
mm-hmm.
the, especially, I'm just going to say Black folks.
Yeah. We need education around it because this is probably a topic for a whole nother day as to why we have that stigma around mental illness is because even rooted in psychology, it comes from a Western European culture. And it's not something that is explained to us. And, you know, when psychology and things first came around, a lot of people you would see were white males. So as African Americans, we already had that fear and that, you know, distrust. So, you know, so that whole thing, you know. And so we haven't been educated on the differences. And I won't say, I think it's getting more open and more out there. More dialogues are being held because more African American and people of color are going into the profession.
Yeah, I think that being able to see somebody who looks like you,
mm-hmm.
late, a lot of times, even if you did go to see a mental health professional, there's somebody who cannot relate to what you're going through.
Right.
There's already that barrier.
Yes.
So, but having somebody that, you know, you relate to kind of eases it a little bit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good deal. So, what do you have planned for the coming year?
That's what I'm working on, but I can kind of share some of the things that I believe God is giving me and making it really clear that I'm going to be doing more women empowerment services, like really launching and being out there as a coach for women leaders and, you know, helping them to actualize their God-inspired vision. And I'm really feeling led to host some type of conference towards the end of the year. To really get ready for 2020, because I know for my business, a piece of my business is going to be moving to holding retreats and conferences for women.
Oh, that would be
good. Yeah.
I think that's much needed, too. I know for myself, you know, a lot of times you want to go to things, attend things, but I think retreat would be really good because you actually away.
Yeah.
You know, not going right back home, and you know, you have time to just kind of process what you learned through the day.
Yeah.
Like space.
And in a small, in a smaller, more intimate space.
Yeah.
Because the conferences are good, but they're larger. People come in, get the information, but they don't really get to interact and like really kind of talk about it in a, you know, in the environment. So yeah, so being able to do something like a retreat where taking a smaller group of women away, or even if it's just here in Nashville, but away over a couple days to be able to do some work on vision, doing it and getting people to come in that are trying to be able to provide the information so it can work and work it out. Yeah.
Yeah. You're having that space and time, because when you go to a conference, you come home, and now you're cooking dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you have a time to process.
Right. And you might have your notes, and then you go back and you're like, well, what was that? What were they talking about? That, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so, you know, coaching and counseling, like I said, a lot of people of color are going into the profession. There are women going into it. What advice do you have for women who are looking into going into the counseling and coaching profession?
One, know that you are called, know whether this is something that you're called to do. Because number one, especially when it's the counseling profession, because coaching is different. Coaching is different. There's a distinct line between the two. And knowing how to do it. With counseling, you have to go through a master's program in either in counseling or marriage and family therapy, social work, psychology. There are things that you have to, you have to get more education.
Okay.
And knowing, that more than the reason why I want to be a counselor is because I want to help people. There's usually some greater, deeper why to it. So knowing that this is, that if counseling is what you want to do and you feel called to it, yes, go into it, and know that there's a journey, it's a journey, it's a process. Coaching is a little bit different because it's not a regulated profession.
Okay.
So you can get certified because I did get, even though I have a master's in counseling and my doctorate in counseling education and supervision, I still went and got two coaching programs, just to have some more in-depth knowledge about what coaching looks like. But we all have a story, and usually you can coach somebody from where you were. Usually, and some of them say like 3 to 5 years ago, what did you think you needed? What did you need somebody to help you navigate through?
Okay.
And so becoming a coach is another, and a lot of times we all can coach or mentor somebody.
That's true. So are there levels to, because you mentioned coaching, talk about counseling, coaching, and mentoring. So it's almost like a levels thing, like maybe mentor, coach, counselor. Because sometimes it seems like those words get used interchangeably. And it may just be because those of us who are not in the profession, we're just hearing the word, and not necessarily seeing
people. Yeah, they're not interchangeable. Counseling is its own distinct profession. And it's regulated. You have to go, you have to go to school and get a degree. You have to practice independently, especially here in Tennessee and in most states. You have to go through a process to be licensed, to be able to practice independently as a counselor, as a licensed professional counselor, as a licensed clinical social worker. You have to go through some rigors, and it's a process where not only after your license, you have to continuing education. There's a certain number of things that I can do as a counselor that I most definitely cannot do as a coach. And there's a lot of counselors out there now that are doing counseling and coaching, and we have to be very clear that we let the client know what we can only counsel you. We can only counsel you, or we can only coach you. We can only coach you. I can't do both. I'm going to refer you if I'm coaching you and I realize that it's far deeper. I'm going to send you to a counselor because I'm going to refer you out.
Okay. So the functions can't, even if you're licensed and certified in both, you can't do both at the same time.
Yeah, you can't do both at the same time with the same client. That's
But see, that's good to know, because, you know, sometimes I think people shy away from coaching because they think, you know, or counseling. Like I said, just sometimes it's like it's a gray area depending on the person.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You have to make sure that, and, you know, especially individuals that are not in the field, you have to ask questions, knowing, you know, that you know who you're hiring and what you're looking for.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And that's where I know I was meeting with a counselor before, and I didn't ask questions. I was just trying to get some counseling.
Yeah.
But we weren't a good fit. And, of course, that until later on.
Yeah.
So, like, what types of questions should a person be asking when they're, trying to find a counselor?
Well, it is, like you say, it's okay, because some people will offer, some counselors will offer a consulting session where you can come in, where we're both interviewing each other, one, to know if you fit into my niche and who I serve and the work that I do. So, but as the client, what you're asking is usually like, what is you can ask the question about what is your treatment modality? What is it, what is your school of thought? How do you think people change? What will it look like? You know, how do you organize your sessions? Because most counselors, you know, when you come in, you're going to do an intake where they're asking you a lot of questions, getting information from you, and then they come up with a treatment plan on how you can progress and how you set your goals for therapy. So being able to ask them that, you can ask them about their education, you know, different things. And like whatever you're going in to see them for, asking them about their experience around that.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, you paying for it.
That's true. You know, being able to ask those questions would kind of ease your mind too, because you're kind of going in blind and just handing them your money, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping they help.
Yeah.
Question.
Because for me, I do that because, like I told you, I don't. I only have right now in my practice, I only have one counseling client, one, and that's because I was seeing her prior to really. I was seeing her, and then I shifted out of some of my income sources to where I'm shifting to, like, in my brick and mortar business. Really where I'm doing supervision for other counselors.
Okay.
Even when I'm doing supervision, before I take on a new supervisee, we have a session together where I'm asking them questions, they're asking me questions, because I want to know, one, are you a good fit for me? And I want you to know that I'm a good fit for you. So if we both walk away, if one of us walk away and say, that's just not going to work, then it's like, okay, we're not, you know, I'll help you find somebody else.
Right. I think that also comes with being secure in who you are, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It takes some work. Because I used to be the one that was like, any client that called, I'd be like, oh, they'd come in, I'd be like, and want to take, you know, especially if they fell into, like, my area of competence. And then I got to a point where it was like, that's not, and that, you know, that was more of God defining who I serve.
Okay. And I like God is a common thread here. So that, I like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm learning that more and more.
Yes. Yes, if we keep him there, things might not be perfect, but they flow.
Yeah, they flow. Yeah.
So how can women get in contact with you for service, or kind of tap into your social media outlets? Like, how are you reaching out to people? How can they get in contact?
Well, how people can contact me is, number one, you can go to my website, which is www.drdangerfield.com. That's one way. And click on Learn More. You can schedule a 15-minute complimentary session. On Facebook, I'm Dr. Lucretia, Confident Counselor Leader. That's who I am on Facebook. On Instagram, I am Dr. Lucretia Dangerfield. I know they say you should be the same person across social media outlets, but right now, Facebook is not allowing me to change my name. So, and then LinkedIn, you can follow me. LinkedIn, I think I think I'm Dr. Lucretia Dangerfield on LinkedIn. So I'm trying to get them consistent across the board.
Okay, well, cool. Well, I thank you for, again, accepting the honor of being the February Busy Woman of the Month. Thank you for coming in for the interview today. And thank you for just being who you are.
Thank you for having me. I don't have, like I said, now I don't have a choice.
And we're all blessed by that. Yeah. I said, we're cousins. You know, we've talked, you know, a lot here in the past few years. Mm-hmm. And you, like I said, consistent across the board. You are a counselor just in who you are. You are a coach. It's just not a profession. That's just your nature. So yeah. God did put you in the right place.
Yeah, even though I didn't know where I was going, I was like, I ain't trying. Because my whole thing was, I ain't trying to be a counselor. That was the furthest thing from my mind. And then, because like, even I struggled even when I came into the field. Like, I'm like, one, I'm a Christian. The other piece, I'm Black. And then I'm going to be a counselor. I'm like, God, for real? What we doing here? Because, you know, our people don't go to counseling, so who am I going to be serving?
Right, but he saw that down the line you were going to need to serve on this population,
Black
who need to feel comfortable, you know, going to seek counseling. So
yeah,
I think he did a great thing with you. I'm so thankful that you were obedient and swiftly obedient. You're a great example of what can happen in your life. When we are, you act in swift obedience to what God did for us to do.
Yeah. But thank you for having me. And thank you for the opportunity.
You are welcome. And so, everybody, tune in next month. We'll have our March Busy Woman of the Month. And with that, I will leave you all for the rest of your day. Stay busy.